We we'll take items a little bit out of order. We'll start with number three, as I think that is the item of greatest interest to the crowd. If you would, read item three.
A resolution by Supervisors Dmitrievich, Lipscomb, Roma West, Cullen, Jerzyk, Borkowski, Bowen, Schmidt, Broderick, and Haas to reform and define the roles and responsibilities of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors as the policy-making body and the administrative duties of the county executive as determined locally.
Thank you.
We do have one comment card at this time. I would ask the audience members, if you are interested in speaking on this item or any item, there are blue comment cards in the back. If you would complete that and just pass it to the table, and we'll pass it on down to the committee clerk here. And then we'll take that up. Before we vote, we will take up comments from anyone from the public wishing to speak. Supervisor Dmitrievich, your lead sponsor, if you would introduce the item or discuss the item. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. This is a very important meeting here with a very important item. And, you know, I've already spoke about this publicly, excuse me, about this local reform plan. And this county board has also done something that I don't think has been done in quite some time, and perhaps not even in other counties. We've embarked on quite a local conversation with neighbors and residents throughout all of Milwaukee County, and you've seen hundreds of people come to our listening sessions with the same message for local reforms. So in investigating best practices, listening to people in the community, our colleagues, state legislators, other groups of interest on how we can better serve people in Milwaukee County government is what helped bring this comprehensive plan together. And then for those who are watching and listening, I just want to go over a few things in this resolution. That's how we got here today. On the county board portion, we are looking at a 20% salary cut for supervisors beginning in the next term. We're supporting 2-year terms in requesting the state to allow us to do so. We're committing to a 2014 50% budget cut to the county board budget. That would be a $2.75 million cut to our county board budget. In addition, there's throughout the legislation, as you can see, there's clarification of roles and responsibilities between the county board and the county executive. Mandated training to make sure that all levels of government appropriately can carry out their duties and their roles. And then there's streamlining, governance streamlining. There is the community business and development partners, we think locally would be moved to the office of the comptroller. That is not in the county board budget. It's one of the only departments that reports to the county board. Therefore, under this local reform plan, no more departments will be reporting to the board in the future. And then I think last, to summarize what is a major piece of legislation, in a summarized form here, are future cuts and efficiency measures that we're committing to a scope of this independent audit, which we've spoke of before, and committing to make those changes, even if they're different and perhaps even more intense than what we have before us now. So, again, when I say this is big and bold, it is. It is big and bold. Surely no one else on this board previously has presented something like this before. I don't see many other elected officials in different parts of the state going forward with a plan to cut their staff 50%, their salaries, changing their terms, and going into depth about the roles and functions of the legislative and executive branch. You know, many have said that this day would never come and that this board would never change itself. We are. We're acting on that right now. We are making changes here locally, and I believe that is what people have requested. So with that being said, I will make a motion for approval. Thank you.
Okay. before we take any votes, we will hear from all members of the public, but if there are supervisors who wish to speak first before we hear from the public, I'll entertain that now.
I will wish to speak, but I yield to the public first.
Very good. All right. With that, I'll take the first card I have is from Mr. Gerald Glazer. If you could, if all speakers could limit themselves to 3 minutes, we'd appreciate that.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, honorable members of the county board, my name is Gerald Glazer, 5230 West Roosevelt Drive, Milwaukee. And although the resolution has a good deal of importance and valuable items in it, I just want to draw your attention to one thing that I would suggest that you add to the resolution, and that is to establish an independent commission to do the redistricting in the future. The resolution, unfortunately, does not touch on the subject of redistricting. If you consider the redistricting that was done in preparation for the election of 2012, I personally appeared before the redistricting committee on two separate occasions, and I pointed out what I consider to be very deep flaws with the redistricting plan that was eventually approved. If you don't believe me about the inadequacy of the plan, just ask Joe Rice, who was your former colleague. And there was a meeting I attended in Whitefish Bay in which there must have been 200 or 300 people there, all of whom objecting to the cutting up of Whitefish Bay into, I believe it was three or four supervisory districts. The plan was, I believe, a very poorly drawn plan. The districts were elongated. They wrap around each other in crazy ways. The only way I can understand that it was passed, it was as a protection for the incumbents. The incumbents would have a better chance of winning re-election in 2012. If so, that worked. However, I don't think that incumbents really need this the power to draw the districts which they will run in the future. The incumbents already have an advantage in fundraising. They already have an advantage in endorsements and already have an advantage in publicity. The best thing that the people of Milwaukee County can ask for at this point would be for somebody, I would suggest 3 members, all of whom are pledged not to seek election to the county board in the next 10 years, but who are knowledgeable enough to draw a map of the county districts for the coming election. I would suggest this would be done by having one member of the mathematics department of UWM, one from MATC, and one from Marquette. And these people would be strictly just given the basic rules that the districts must be of equal population, as near as can be determined. They should be compact as possible. And other than that, they're satisfied the Voting Rights Act, of course. But other than that, it should be completely a non-political body making a non-political decision. So I would suggest that if there's still time to change this resolution, that something should be written into it to establish a independent commission to draw county board districts.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Glazer. If you could wait a moment, I think we have a question for you.
Sure.
from Supervisor Taylor.
Well, I appreciate you bringing this up. Actually, if I've been putting a little thought on this because we first have the state give us permission to actually do a redistricting. And if that occurs, then we'd have to obviously do a redistricting. So what we do need is an independent panel, and I completely agree. After watching what happened at the state level, and there are lots of complaints what happened there, with one party being in control.
Yeah.
I watched from the outside looking in and saw how they carved up the city of Franklin, where I live, which was very frustrating to me and some of my residents. And so this happens all around the country, where you have certain cities, certain states that use an independent body. So feel free to contact my office, because if this is allowed, if we're given permission to actually do a downsize and do a redistricting, that is something I will be proposing, so I would love to have a conversation with you about that. Because I do agree that let's take the politics out of it and have districts that are represented by, you know, more compact, racially diverse, and not have these issues where you look at a map and say, now obviously this is meant to favor someone, and that should end. And both parties have done it. Nonpartisan bodies have done it. What we need to have happen is an independent panel of all different, individuals that really have no political affiliation.
Actually, I favor an independent panel to redistrict the state and the cities and so forth. Now, if there is no change made in the number of county board districts between now and 2020, there will have to be redistricting after the 2020 census. It's not too early to make a decision now, years this much in advance, to have an independent body do it. If you have redistricting done, it's for some other reason, because of changes of numbers, at an earlier stage, it's still a good idea, and it would just have to be implemented a little earlier. But thank you very much for your remarks, Supervisor Taylor. I certainly agree with you.
Thank you, Mr. Glavin. Next is James Ito, followed by Mary Lon.
I live at 3302 North Bremen in River West, and I've attended most of the hearing sessions, if not all through the hearing sessions, at least a partial part of the hearing sessions, and I have to say that I heard most of the comments saying that the board should remain as is. I understand to some degree what you're trying to do here. I object to the situation where democracy at this point in Milwaukee County is being threatened by special interests that are seeking to make the county executive a emperor or king of our county facilities, our parks, our harbors, our airport, to, as far as I'm concerned and can see, to further the profits of special interests and corporations. I think that being a former employee of the city and county, I see that people such as yourselves here are dedicated, concerned about our county, and to have to do something like this at the threat of saving money, I think is an affront to myself as a elector of this county, and an affront to a taxpayer that's willing to pay for the representation that you all give us. So it's your choice, I understand, to do what you have to do, but as a citizen, an elector, and a member of Move to Amend of Southeastern Wisconsin, which is trying to get big money out of politics and reduce the influence of corporations on our democracy, I just wish to say that I feel sorry that you have to subject yourselves to this kind of tactic in order to be a continuing representative for us as Milwaukee County representatives or residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Lon, followed by Craig Wenzel, if this is the item you were looking to speak on, Mr. Wenzel.
First of all, I have a question. I didn't get to read the whole bill, and I don't know if I heard everything you said, Ms. Dmitrievich. But are there any changes in the county executive powers in your bill?
Supervisor Dmitrievich, prepared to answer.
And there we go. Thank you. Well, that's an interesting question. We definitely have a part of this local reform plan which clarifies a few things, if I may read into the record. The roles and responsibilities of the county board and county executive. And so we re-clarify that the board is the policy-making body of county government, that the county executive is clearly the administrator and manager of the day-to-day operations responsible for carrying out the policies of the board. Department heads are managed and supervised by the county executive, that the board does not manage department heads and may not in any manner provide implementation direction to department heads. We have, of course, the right of supervisors to make reasonable requests for information or attendance at county board meetings to communicate as the effectiveness and implementation of policy objectives. We may seek information from departmental staff, and that clarifying the county executive shall have the authority in his or her annual budget process to establish, eliminate, or modify departments and subunits. We also, Mr. Chairman, do in our bill ask for the county executive, the county supervisors, and our respective staffs to engage in training. This is, again, one of the other best practices that we've discussed, mandatory training. At least it'll be for the branch that I help chair at this point, the legislative branch, on roles and responsibilities. We think that would be incredibly important. And then there's just various other governance streamlining. Are there any changes to the county executive's office budget? No.
Okay, thank you very much. I certainly like your bill better than AB 85, SB 95 in the Senate. I like it because it gives us local control. Again, we're taking local control, and I think that's very important. However, I'm sorry you need to use this tactic, as Jim Ito said, that you feel you need to lower your salaries when I don't think they're very high in the first place, considering the amount of work you all do and covering 50,000 constituents each. I don't think a dollar per person is a whole lot. I don't think you should have any cuts in your salary. I don't think you should have any cuts in your benefits or your staff. And I don't think you should be in perpetual mode of having to run for office every 2 years. That's very expensive for you. That's it's just not a good thing to run every 2 years and have a county executive that is more involved and more entrenched every 4 years. I mean, it's just not fair. So I disagree with the bill in that respect, that I think it's shortchanging some people that I very much respect and like the work that you're doing. I think the state bill is capitalizing on people's anger at the Amen scandal. That is, people are still upset about that, and I think this is just a political move, and I do not like the other bill, so this is certainly a much better bill than the state bill, because it doesn't give the county executive control of the harbor, control of all sales and leases as an individual. This is a monarchy when someone does that, and we have a democracy in the United States, or we're supposed to. So I think this is good in that it doesn't give any kingly powers to the executive. And I agree with the initial person who came up and talked about redistricting. I believe that's more of a state issue than a local one, but if we could push for that, I think that would give us more of a democracy, too. I'm also from Move to Amend, and we do want to have people be in charge rather than businesses, and I feel that this all started with the GMAC, and or rather the GMC, the Greater Milwaukee Committee, wanting to be in charge, and I don't think that this was really initiated by the constituents at all. Not your bill, but the bill that you're countering right now was really instituted by non-constituents, and I don't like that at all. I think we should be in charge. Thank you.
Ms. Lund, we have a question from Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for coming today, Ms. Lund. I'm wondering, if I understood your testimony correctly, it sounds that you really don't fully approve of the resolution before us today, the resolution written by Supervisor Dmitrievich and titled with the Our Milwaukee Reform Plan. I'd just like to ask you honestly, do you think that in light of everything going on, that what's before us today is the best we could do?
I think you probably know better than I do. I think it's much better than our alternative.
And do you understand that the resolution before us today is not a legal substitute for what's before the state? They could both simultaneously pass or simultaneously fail, and they are independent of each other.
And they are contradictory.
Correct.
Then what happens?
Thank you.
Well, do you know the answer to that?
All right. We were not supposed to discuss. I don't want either supervisors or speakers to get into a debate.
I thought it was a rhetorical question that she was asking me, but
The state trumps us.
But yeah, to be clear, the state, if there's a conflict, the state's action will take precedence.
I see. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Thank you. No problem. All right. And I'm sorry, we have just a little housekeeping, couple items where people weren't clear on what item they were speaking on, so I just want to make sure. Mr. Wenzel, speaking in favor, was it for this item?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And then next up, and I'm trying to take these in the order they were handed in, would be Robert Sharver, speaking against, but it was unclear whether it was this item or the item one. So if Mr. Sharver wants to be up next, we'll take you next. Mr. Wenzel?
Hey, thank you. My name is Craig Wenzel. I'm a Wauwatosa resident. I am the current treasurer for a progressive citizens group called Grassroots Tosa. And I think I don't want to drag this out and repeat what other people have been saying up to this point. I am in total agreement with all three of the people that spoke previously. I have not spent a lot of time looking at your resolution, but I did spend some time looking at it. I, too, don't agree totally with everything, but I do understand that it's a compromise, and I feel that it probably is the best compromise that you could come up with. I personally don't see it being a good thing to downsize the board. I agree that there needs to be changes, but downsizing the board just does not seem to be part of what should be going on. But I do understand that there are compromises that you're trying to make. I totally disagree with the AB 85 and SB 95. I feel that your resolution is much, much better and will solve a lot of issues that we have right now with our local government. Basically, I'm just here to let you know that Grassroots TOSA as a group supports you and are willing to help you any way we can. If there's anything we can do, we will gladly support you in any way we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wenzel. Supervisor Cullen has a question for you.
Thank you. You can tell me if this isn't appropriate because I don't really know, but in the election for county executive, did Grassroots TOSA get involved the last time?
I couldn't tell you for sure. I was not a member at that point.
Thanks.
I've only been involved, 5 months maybe.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ronson. Mr. Sharver, was it for this item? That's just unclear. And then also for Mr. Nikolaiwicz, you had item one marked down. I'm not sure if you meant agenda one or if you meant this item being the first thing we took up. The first resolution, so later in the meeting. So I'll set you aside. Thank you. All right, Mr. Sharver.
I'm here in support of the state legislation, both at the Assembly and the Senate. Where I'm coming from is that government is just growing too big and too costly and too cumbersome. Just some facts. The average county board member, these are based on 2010 county budget. The county supervisor makes $62,000 a year in wages and benefits, which works out to $39.51 an hour. The average county, your staff people, make with wages and benefits $77,614 a year, which is $37.31 an hour. The highest county paid employee with wages and benefits makes $166 per hour. The top 100 paid county employees with wages and benefits makes $89 per hour. The all county employees, throwing out the top employees and the lowest paid employees, the average employee makes $36.65 per hour. I think when you compare these wages and benefits to the private sector, they're totally out of line. And of course, most county employees can retire at the age 55, which virtually no one in the private sector can do. And of course, many county employees have received, and I assume in the future, will receive what you call the backdrop bonus when they retire. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Sharber, could you, we're going to have a couple questions, if you could help me out. You were speaking in favor of the state legislation. Did that necessarily mean you were opposed to the county taking action themselves, which is item 3, which we're taking up now? Or
I would prefer that it be done at the state level.
Okay. I appreciate the clarification. Supervisor West and then Supervisor Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to clarify with the speaker, is that a 40-hour work week?
I based it on 2,080 hours per year. I took the total pay.
Okay.
And divided it by the number of employees and 2,080 hours per year.
Okay. So I'd just like to say for the record that I don't know any county board supervisors right now who work a 40-hour work week. I think we all work more than that. We work neighborhood meetings and whatever else. In addition, the highest paid position in Milwaukee County is the medical examiner. The medical examiner, in addition to having just a slew of education, also does not work a 40-hour work week. He works probably a 60, maybe sometimes 80-hour work week, depending on how many homicides and other things we have going on here in the city of Milwaukee or within Milwaukee County. The week that we had the attack on the Sikh temple, I'm sure that he did not work a 40-hour work week. And so in fairness, I think I know a lot of county employees that don't work a 40-hour work week, and I just wanted to state that for the record.
Very good.
Thank
there's
you.
There's also an audit within the last year that provides a fair amount of information on the topic if anybody's interested in more information.
Can you tell me, based on your audit, what does the average county employee hours work per week they work?
I do not know.
How many vacation days they have and sick days?
I do not know that. If the audit contains it, that's why I raise that for information for anyone. I'm not taking a position on what the audit said or refuting what your information. I'm just providing that as additional information
I think,
for yourself or for others.
I think when you compare, again, I look at private industry versus government, and when you look at sick days, holidays, vacation days, again, there's absolutely no comparison.
Okay. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Supervisor Taylor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First off, I completely agree with you that government's gotten way too big. I would say it's the same at the state level as well, where I think the state legislature's budget's anywhere between $60 million. Would you say that state legislatures or all legislators are overpaid as well?
My knee-jerk reaction would be no. I think they have a much greater responsibility. I have never once in my life ever called my county supervisor.
So you base it on hours? Are you basing it on hours worked or responsibility? Because I know there's times where they're not in Madison or in session for months on end. So I'm just curious to how you're judging what a salary is based on.
Well, my comparison starts with comparing to the job responsibility to private industry sector.
And comparing government to the private sector?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. Supervisor Cohen.
If I could just follow up on his question. Having been a legislator and now county supervisor, I think I can speak to this. The job duties are at least fairly
similar. And do you know when the legislature will adjourn their session next year?
Well, I think they adjourn this year, don't they?
No. They will adjourn in March of 2014.
Okay.
No, I didn't know that. They will not return until January of 2015. That means there'll be 9 months where the legislature will have no meetings, no committee meetings, and they will be being paid their full salary. Last year, how many days the legislature worked last year? Do you have a guess?
No, I don't.
I do. It was 12.
12 days?
12 days.
I respectfully don't accept that.
Well, I can show you the proof.
Would you please?
Yes. Provide me your address. I'll send
12 days. I find that hard to believe that they only were in session for 12 days.
Well, it's the truth.
All right.
The other question I had for you, you mentioned the backdrop, which has been a stain on this county for a long time. And most of the people sitting in this room weren't involved in that. It's my recollection, correct me if I'm wrong, that it originated with the county executive's office proposing this backdrop, and then either the county board didn't get correct information or did a poor job with the information they got. Anybody can make a judgment on that. And so then the backdrop was passed. I wonder how you would think that giving the county executive more authority and giving the county board less information would prevent something like that from happening in the future.
Because, as I understand it, the county board would still have supervisory and set policy. And again, going back to the backdrop, it's quite obvious that no one did their work. Or if they knew, they didn't want to know that this backdrop was going to be so lucrative to them and to aim it and so forth. So it was a clear case of almost walking in a bank and stealing the money. And so the county board, whoever was supposed to be supervising this, certainly weren't doing their job. I think we can all agree to that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what information they were given by the county executive, and that's the problem I see with this bill.
Well, didn't they have a duty to find out? I mean, I've been on the board of a corporation, and if you're looking at a big budget expenditure or something, you find out what's in it.
Yeah. All right. The backdrop isn't really in front of us. I appreciate that you responding to a comment, and we did. I'll give a little latitude on that stuff, but let's try to debate the item in front of us. Were you finished then, Mr. Shaver?
Yes. Thank
Very
you.
Very good. Thank you for your comments.
Thanks.
Next is Wallace White, followed by Benjamin Lund. Good afternoon, Mr. White.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for allowing me to appear, appearing as a citizen, an individual. I'm neither for or against. I'm looking for a resolution. And so my comments are more informational. Details are contained in an article that was in Friday's Journal Sentinel that I wrote in the perspective session. So as I've read the legislation, AB 85, I've read the current law and other supporting materials by the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, for example, and the Supervisor's Handbook, by the Wisconsin Association of Counties, and just trying to get a handle on exactly what the whole issue was, and mm-hmm. in addition to that, how we can find some resolution That gets us out of this competitive kind of role that we're in between the county and the state. So a couple of comments, and I'll be done. In my opinion, a county reorganization must be legal. The state has the legal authority to do the kinds of things it's trying to do, but it also must be fair. Must be fair and justifiable. The state has the legal authority to impose any conditions, or the conditions that they're attempting to impose right now. But is that fair? In fact, the kinds of things that they're doing now, or that they're proposing for Milwaukee County, could be done for any county in the state. It could happen to anybody. And I think that's some of the concerns of some of the other state legislators that could happen. The reorganization should be the result of an agreement between the state legislature and the county board in order for it to be fair. It should not be imposing upon people their will without input of both sides. The state as a whole is facing too many challenges right now to continue the my way or the highway approach. Both sides have agreed already that changes need to be made. That's been demonstrated on both sides. And how do we get to the point where we can come to some kind of resolution that's agreeable and acceptable to both sides? I think the county board chair's proposal that was in the paper last Friday should be a first step toward initiating a serious dialogue rather than attacking back and forth with some emotional kinds of concerns, that we actually begin to give consideration to that as a serious approach. And so, and finally, let's do this for the future success and growth of the entire state. Neither side can do it alone. As long as we continue to be at odds with each other, then all of us lose. That's my opinion, and I hope that we can find a way and an approach that will help us to resolve this in a fashion that's going to be beneficial to everybody. So thank you very much, and I'll have some additional copies of the article that was in the newspaper. I'll leave it with the clerk for distribution to all the supervisors. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Benjamin Lund, followed by Willie Loveless. While we're waiting on him, if there are any other members of the audience who are wishing to speak, there are blue cards in the back. If you would fill that out, and it'll be passed down to the clerk, who will get it to me. So thank you. Mr. Lund?
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for having me. I'll keep it brief. I basically just wanted to come in and say I live on Farwell Avenue. I'm a Milwaukee County resident. I appreciate Mr. Dmitrievich and the board agreeing that change is necessary, perhaps, or change is inevitable. And so as far as the gesture is concerned, I very much support that. I did happen to see Chairwoman Dmitrievich on TV last night talking to one of the local reporters, and she happened to mention that this particular plan that she just put forward was actually a proposal that the board has had, in her words, and I don't want to misquote, but something to the effect of years before she was even chairwoman, which makes, to this layman's mind, the timing of it a bit suspicious at best. But ultimately, I do want to see county board make some changes for the better. I do want to see some powers returned to the county executive's office. For example, I, as a citizen, would feel much more confident if contracts, for example, couldn't be negotiated to the exclusion of the county executive's office, those kind of things. And so, having spoke with State Representative Sanfilippo myself at another hearing, I fully support his bill, and I wouldn't want to see this as any kind of an alternative to AB. But rather, I mean, if after Sanfilippo's bill were to pass statewide, I mean, if the board decided that it wanted to continue to make changes or some in some way, shape, or form, I don't know, resolve some inner conflicts, then I would fully support that. But I simply just don't support this particular bill if, in fact, it's being put forward as an alternative to AB. So,
okay. Appreciate your comments. I think I'll ask Supervisor Dmitrievich if she's interested to clarify the statement, because I suspect it wasn't
Sure, I'll respond, but I'm not interested nor do I think that this committee should get into debates with speakers.
No.
But I think it's an opportunity to clarify, and because I've been asked that question before.
Yeah.
So I think what I said is the conversation about change has been happening for quite some time, even prior to me being county board chair. There was discussion about, why didn't we act on this a year ago? We didn't have a proposal like this a year ago. We've embarked in a great conversation across the county. I've heard from people who want to see change and want to see it done locally. So we've examined best practices. We're listening to state legislators, like you had that conversation, and other people. It takes time to put something together. Mm-hmm. So, is this reactionary? No, this is actually what it's been said, is that we would never do this, that we needed the state to do it because we would never change on our own, and we are. This is a bill in front of us right now that has major reforms, salary cuts, pension changes, a budget board budget cut, and so I think that the time has come after we've listened to people, and quite frankly, for the record, we're going to do this regardless of what the legislature does in the state. Milwaukee County is leading the way here on making our own local reforms. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'll just take my clarification and go. So just one more time to be clear, this is a new proposal then. So the proposal itself, this isn't something that...
That's true.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Lund. Mr. Loveless, followed by Helen Harris.
I would like to thank the chair and the entire audience for giving me this space. And I'm not clear enough on the environment to really take a strong stand, but my main point here would be that seem like recently here it's been so many positive things that I've been just community involved, this community news, and just what I've been able to grasp in their form. It's been highly remarkable for what the services being contributed to our county area. But my main point here is I feel that if it was more promotion on these positive concerns that's taking place, it would balance itself, because it just giving everybody a chance to come in and share their ideas. Everybody have great ideas, and I feel that the one that fit in for the plan that's taking place, I feel that if it's adhered to, in other words, if it's utilized, it benefits all. So we all have, we are all a part of it, and I just feel that this contribution that can be made here, it's so valuable until, I don't mean to just keep going over and over being too repetitive, but I just feel that not just making a change for change, because I know the economic situation here is very grueling. So as long as we can just hold our ground and move forward, I feel that's the key. We want to continue with our progress.
Thank you, Mr.
Lewis.
Ms. Helen Harris?
Great.
And that is the last speaker I have for this item. If there are others, please fill out a card. Ms. Harris?
I have some very serious reservations and concerns about the State Assembly Bill 85. First of all, I'd like to say that we're all concerned about budgets. And I think it needs to start in Washington, and then at the state level, and then at the local level. I think in Washington, Congress needs to cut their budget, their health care. And I think in Madison, those legislators need to also look at their budgets and their health care. I don't think the burden should just be borne by the county and the people in the city. So I think it should be everyone should share the pain. I really feel, though, that the county has made efforts to tighten their own belt, and I support that. And that's the way I think it should happen. I don't think Madison should dictate how Milwaukee County spends its money or handles its budget. And it is true that the legislature in Madison serves very few days, and they're out for months, regardless of what people may think. So that's a part-time position as well. I think the county of Milwaukee has, it's very complex. And there are a lot of buildings, there are a lot of parks, and there are a lot of facilities and other things that the county representatives are responsible for. And I would like to see it as a job that makes sense. I think if we cut so much, we get what we pay for. And if we cut it so far, who's going to want that job? It'll either end up being someone who is doesn't need the money and are doing it for political reasons, or it'll be someone who really, really needs the money just to have a job. I don't think we would have the quality of people that we have now aspiring to it. I wouldn't want to work a full-time job with all of their responsibilities, or even a part-time, with all the responsibilities that they have for a minimal amount of money and no health care. And it's my understanding that, correct me if I'm wrong, that our representatives are responsible for about 50,000 people or so. Is that true?
In state other supervisory district, I mean, county yes. supervisory districts
yes.
are average of over 52,000.
Yes. So in a lot of the other districts in the state, they probably don't have that many people. Their situation is not as complex. So maybe they don't need to have the same kind of salary structure as we have here. So I support what you're doing to try to make your own cuts and tighten your own belts. Some of my other concerns about this assembly bill have to do with the balance of power that would be shifted. I think one of the things that makes our country strong is that we do have a balance of power between our executives and our legislators. And to me, this bill would shift a lot more of that power onto the county executive. And it's not about this particular person who's in office now. It's whoever would take that position. Maybe you like what the person is doing now and you want him to have a lot more power. But what about the next person who gets all that power? One of the things that I've read is that only under this assembly bill, only the county executive can create departments and a lot of other things. Only the county executive can acquire lease or rent property. And another one that concerns me is that the county board would have less authority about contracts. So a lot more of that would go to the county executive, too. And that concerns me. I believe we are stronger if we have a better balance of power. And so I am definitely opposed to this bill. And I would hope that the people in Madison would allow Milwaukee County, our Board of Supervisors, and County Executive to make their own decisions rather than stepping into it, because they're not being fair. It's only in Milwaukee. Another thing I would like to ask of the board is, has there been a date set for a proposed election when this legislation would be, some of this legislation would be on the...
The state legislation proposes a referendum in the spring of 2014.
Okay, then my question would be, what other positions would be in that at the same time? Would be, are there any other elections going on for school board or for aldermen or anything else? Or in Milwaukee, would we only be coming out for this particular issue? Because in some other districts, I understand they have school board elections, they have other kinds of things that are going to be on that. And in Milwaukee, I'm not sure. So I think if that's true, we would be at a strong disadvantage, because how would people know? And I think that needs to be looked into. Do you have any information about that?
I'll answer it to the best of my, and if others can do better, I'll acknowledge you. We have, countywide, we'll have some circuit court races. There may be a Milwaukee school board race, and then in the other municipality, there's no Milwaukee school.
No
school board race.
So there's
in
no
14.
School board races.
No mm-hmm. other election, no other local elections in Milwaukee, but there may be in the remaining 18 municipalities there could be.
And see, I think that would be unfair. That would put Milwaukee at a disadvantage. They would have people coming out for a school board and maybe other things, aldermen or whatever, and we would not have that. So I think that's unfair as well.
Okay. I appreciate your comments, Ms. Harris. I do have a question from your supervisor, I believe, Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I just looked up very quickly the election cycles to answer your question. It would be Circuit Court and Court of Appeals that would be on the ballot.
That's all.
In the spring of next year.
And I think that would be unfortunate because those elections typically do not generate a lot of turnout. What about for some of the other municipalities?
I only have Milwaukee counties in front of me. I don't know if anybody else have any.
Well, I can
Alderman Taylor?
Aldervisor, they call me in Franklin. I say it should be Superman, to be honest with you. But in the city of Franklin, where I'm an alderman, there are three aldermen up and the mayor next spring.
Wow.
And then I know in the city of Oak Creek, which I also represent, I believe the mayor is a two-year term. I believe the aldermen are two-year terms, so I think there should be three aldermen up, I believe, next year. So I would look at – there's always aldermen or village trustees every single spring, depending on municipalities. But if you're looking at suburbs, Franklin, definitely you have a mayor and three aldermen up.
Well, I think that's a big disadvantage for Milwaukee. If they're going to have a mayor and – aldermen, and we only have a couple of court judges, you know, was that planned like that? You know, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but, you know. So I think that someone should be responsible for resetting that date.
That would only be
Thank
the
you.
Legislature.
Please
but wait. If you could wait a moment, Ms. Harris, we do have a question from Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you for waiting, Ms. Harris. I was building up some questions for you earlier, but I wanted to pull up those the list of who would be on the ballot. Thank you so much for coming out. I know that you came to my town hall meeting on the reform topic. I know that you are highly educated and that you think these things through, and I really appreciate your opinions because you bring the insight that a lot of times I haven't thought of yet as a supervisor. So thank you for being a constituent that cares about your government and what's going on.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, you mentioned at the start of your speech, you talked about Congress and the state legislature and then the local levels and how you preferred to see the cuts begin at the top first at the federal level and come down rather than beginning at the local level. But it seemed that your statement presumed that any cuts that would take place would be due to budgetary concerns, and I'm wondering how you recommend handling local inefficiencies when they're recognized if the higher levels have not addressed them first.
How are they handled now?
Well, some would say that these meetings and hearings that we're having are a partial response to recognition of inefficiencies.
Well, I think that having these kind of hearings is very important. Although I had just briefly heard it on television, when I called down to the courthouse, it took about four phone calls to get some specific information about who was having it and where it was being held. So I think a lot of it needs to be internal efficiencies. You need to be looking and evaluating and constantly monitoring what you are doing. And I think constituents should also step up, and when they're facing things that are not being done or should be done, they need to contact their legislatures and address them.
Thank you. I'm excited to tell you then that a few months ago we did pass a resolution to have some efficiency audits completed throughout the county, and I'm looking forward to see where we're at on having those audits done. You also brought up the salaries and difficulty with someone serving in a part-time position or with a low salary and no benefits. I'm wondering if you feel the same way about the school board.
The school board, I think, is a little bit different. They certainly have a lot of responsibilities, and it certainly is a large budget. But I'm not addressing that at this point. Right now I'm just addressing the county, because that's what I'm more familiar with, and that's what's on my mind right now.
Thank you. And last question is, have you read the resolution that's in front of us today?
No, not the entire thing. I've read some snippets.
based on the points that you are familiar with of this resolution, do you feel that this concerted effort is the best that we can do at making our government better at this time?
When you say this concerted effort, what do you mean?
This resolution before us today being proposed to this committee, with the authors hoping for advancement to the county board for a full vote and implementation on Thursday.
Are you talking about Bill B 85?
No, that is a state bill. I'm talking about the resolution authored by Chairwoman Dmitrievich that we're discussing today that would be implemented at the county level. For example, one of the provisions would be to reduce supervisor salaries
yes.
by 20%.
Yes. Absolutely. I think that would be the best way to go.
And you would not recommend any changes to that?
Not at this time. I'd have to peruse it a little bit more before okay. I would make a final decision
Thank
on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Ms. Harris. I have no other cards for this item. Are there any other speakers? Are there any other speakers for this item? Thank you. Committee members? We have a motion for approval. What's the pleasure? Supervisor Taylor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, obviously, we have 10 sponsors, 10 of the 18. So I would imagine this is going to pass on Thursday. And here we have 5 of the 7 that are sponsors. So the likelihood of this moving forward is pretty great.
You want to be added as a sponsor?
No, I didn't say that. I do have a couple concerns. One, I would like to make an amendment to take out lines 58 through 62, which says, be it further resolved that the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors hereby opposes AB 85 and SB 95 that preempts local control and imposes a public referendum on only a portion of the legislation while arbitrarily eliminating resources and oversight functions of the legislative body and conferring additional powers to the county executive that are not given to any other Wisconsin county. And we have that basic item up as item number 1, so it really should not be a part of this resolution because I think this should actually stand on its own. You know, there's no doubt the reason we're here is because of what's going on at the state level. I guess what disappoints me is, you know, I have a great deal of respect for former Supervisor Sam Filippo, but he was here for 5 years and never brought in any of these changes, never brought in a cut to the staff, never brought in changes of authority, never brought in pay decreases, essentially only brought in downsizing at the time when redistricting was taking place. And then even after the election for supervisor a year ago, when 12 communities did say we'd like to have a downsizing or a part-time county board, we never saw for 8 months until he got elected as a state rep any type of reform from his office, which I would have greatly, you know, gladly supported. So I'm a little disappointed that it took it happening at the state level when he was still here at the same time. So I'd like to make an amendment to remove that because I don't feel that that should be in this resolution. That would be the first amendment that I'd like to take up.
Okay. Supervisor Taylor has moved to delete lines 58 through 62. It is a single be it further resolved clause that reads that the County Board of Supervisors hereby opposes AB 85 and SB 95 that preempts local control and imposes a public referendum on only a portion of the legislation while arbitrarily eliminating resources and oversight functions of the legislative body and conferring additional powers to the county executive that are not given to any other Wisconsin county. And is there any question about the amendment? Clerk, do you have any questions, comments? No comments on the amendment. All right. Supervisor Taylor moves the amendment deleting line 58 through 62. We'll take the roll.
Alexander?
Aye.
Roderick?
Aye.
Dmitrievich?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The amendment is approved.
All right.
Supervisor Taylor?
I still have a couple more here.
On
page. Well, for discussion, I mean, you know, this is.
Comments. I thought you meant amendments.
Well, there may be an amendment. On page 3, you have item lines 87 through 89, and in that we're requesting for the board to go from 4 years to 2 years, and we obviously have to get, we pretty much have to, I believe, ask the state for that permission. Is that correct? Well, what I'm looking at is why we did not also add the county executive to put it on like a level playing field, because I know there are county executives throughout the state that would also have 2 year terms. So I think we ought to make it around the board that no one should be entrenched for a 4 year period and have that position be equal with us. So I'd make an amendment to actually request that the county executive have a term that lasts 2 years as well as the board. That'd be my amendment.
Supervisor West?
Sorry. Sure. Supervisor Taylor always yells at me. I drink too loud, so I turn it off in between talking. So my question is, I'm wondering, and I know that Mr. Chairman is a member of the Wisconsin Counties Association Board, as to whether or not there's been research done regarding the status of full-time county executives statewide, and whether or not those full-time county executives are limited to a 2 year term or whether or not they have 4 year terms.
Very good. Does staff happen to know whether there are county executives with 2 year terms in Wisconsin?
Here.
Should probably find that out.
We will find that out.
How's this sound? We will. I'll pull that, and then on Thursday, if this passes here, on Thursday I'll move to add it at the board floor. How's that sound? We'll at least have the information.
We certainly have that information for Thursday. If we could get
that by Wednesday so we have a chance to look at it, that'd be great. I mean, it shouldn't be that difficult to pull them up and find out what the terms are. And then the last thing, Mr. Chair, would be on page 5. When it talks about training, about who should train, it talks about county board supervisors and county board staff.
Could you give us a line number, please?
Oh, line number 191 through 193. I'd like to see added the county executive as well and county executive staff, because I've learned in my first year that there's issues upstairs with having knowledge of their roles. And sometimes, I remember we had a veto on the House of Correction, and they were bringing in a resolution or a change right there on the floor. Like, they don't even know the rules of how it works. So I think they need the same training. Where I have issues, and maybe we should look at like what the League of Municipalities does, is, you know, when new aldermen are elected, I was once one, brand new in La Crosse back in 97, I remember we had this training class available to us, and it was at 3 different locations throughout the state so people could drive and go to it. And I think once you've gone to it, you've done it. It's kind of like you get hired at a company, you're given a manual, you read it, you sign off on it. So if you screw up, you at least said, hey, I signed it. I knew what I was supposed to do and whatnot. So I don't know if every 2 years you have to do this, but I think every newly elected supervisor should take some sort of training. I also believe that staff should be made aware of the roles and responsibilities. Same with the executive, because especially this one that had no political experience before he got here, you've shown the rookie mistakes that are still rookie mistakes 2 years in. So I think we seriously need to add that. So I'll make an amendment to add the county executive and county executive staff to be required the similar training as we will have.
All right. I'd like to ask Supervisor Dmitrievich if you might reconcile mm-hmm. this for us. Line 171.
Right. That's what I was going to talk about.
Was pointed out to me. And
yes. Thank you. Since I am the sponsor of it. 171 is... Be it further resolved that the county executive, county board of supervisors, and their respective staff shall participate in training. I think what Supervisor Taylor is mentioning is the part that makes it mandatory is for the board. So the board is imposing on themselves that it will be mandatory 12-hour training, but we would not want to impose that mandatory training on the county executive and administration, but we do, you know, request that the county executive and their respective staffs shall participate in that training. I mean, that's on line number 171. It says that clearly. But we're going a step further that we in our on 191 that the county board will be mandatory 12 hours of training. I mean, if the county executive chooses to enforce that on his administration, that I believe that is his choice.
Supervisor Taylor.
Mr. Chair, I did read this, and I did see that section 171, 172, 173, which said the county executive and staff. But being down here a year, I've found out that, number one, everything that goes wrong is the board's fault. Right. Number two, the county executive does nothing wrong. Either does his staff. So what I'm saying is it's obvious that they need training as well, because if we're going to go through this, we might as well be in it together. Because we, you know, at least the next 3 years, we have to work together. And there's obviously some real communication problems in a lot of cases where one branch is stepping on the other branch, and it goes both ways. So I don't know how it can be mandatory for us, but not the exec. And maybe he'll, you know, send out a press release in 15 minutes and say that he's willing to do anything necessary to work together. Or he'll send out a press release saying that this is a smokescreen and I'm going with AB, you know, 85 and SB 95 no matter what. I'm not sure. I'm expecting one of the two. However, I think there should be mandatory training, and that's my amendment.
Okay. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I am understanding the chairwoman's point, the legislative branch imposing on the executive branch might be a violation of our powers. And that could be held to a legal test, but I tend to agree that it's best practices, that if the county executive chooses not to participate in best practices, that's his call, it's his branch of government. I think we should restrict ourselves to those powers that we have, or considering what might happen with 85 and 95, those two bills, the meager powers that will be left to us at the conclusion of the passage of that bill, if it does.
Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Cullen.
I guess I wonder if the maker of the motion would consider waiting until Thursday to look at this, too. I think he's brought up an important issue. My concern is that I expect that the county executive is looking for any reason to veto local reform. And he might say, well, now they put in this stuff that I have to have training and my staff has to have training, and I can just veto it because of that, since he doesn't have a line item veto. And perhaps we can have a discussion with the county executive and members of his staff as to how to best resolve that issue. So, I mean, I'm not inclined to support this motion at this time, but I may be willing to support it on Thursday with some further discussion.
How's this sound? Just like before, I will poll this, Mr. Chair, and I think we should get maybe a clarification from Corporation Counsel to see whether or not we have the authority to do this. If it is determined that we have the authority to do this, I'll bring it up on the board floor. If not, I won't. How's that sound?
Awesome.
That sounds good. Mr. Grady?
Mr. Grady,
right,
is that
see
right
you
with
back
you?
There. Could you perhaps weigh in on that before Thursday with us, whether that such direction would conflict with current powers?
You said Thursday.
Right.
Unless he's prepared to provide that today, we would need it before board day, just so to be prepared for that.
Mr. Chairman, Deputy Corporation Counsel Mark Grady, I am not prepared to answer that question today, but we will do our best to get you an answer as soon as we can.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You know it's coming.
You know it's coming. Thank you.
You know it's coming. All right. Very good. Thank you, Supervisor Taylor, for your ability to work through this. Supervisor Dmitrievich.
I'd like to move approval as amended, please.
We have a motion for approval as amended. Are there further comments? Supervisor Alexander.
Wow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A few years ago, the board revised the county ethics code, and it involved 18 months of public meetings, 3 hearings before the Judiciary Committee, and a meeting of the Committee of the Whole before it was considered by the board. But today, we're here to undertake transforming the entire county and its governance with one business day of notice and virtually no opportunity for public input on this particular plan. So please forgive me that I have several questions for the author of the bill that I'd like to ask clarification on. The resolution. Lines 34 through 36
seemingly complain about how proposed AB 85 and SB 95 at the state level apply to only to Milwaukee County, yet lines 13 through 15 assert that Milwaukee County is unlike any of the other 71 counties. I'm trying to understand what point the resolution is attempting to make. Is it that Milwaukee County is unique or that it isn't?
Supervisor Dmitrievich?
Yes.
Is Milwaukee County unique?
Is every county unique?
Well, okay, so I'm going to answer questions pertaining to this bill, not rhetorical, hypothetical things, but if you have questions about this bill, which you've received like all their members, then I can answer them and clear them up. I don't know if it is.
Mr. Chairman, it wasn't a hypothetical question. It seemed that two clauses within the bill were contradictory, and I just wanted to make sure that we cleared them up because, as we know, courtrooms and judges use the whereas clauses in resolutions like this to determine the writer's intent of new laws. So I think it's very important that we're clear with our intent.
I would just ask, I think it's, if you have a question, it's a fair question. I fail to see the contradiction. So the first portion talks about how Milwaukee, you've interpreted it to talk about how Milwaukee County is different, and the second portion talks about how this bill is applied only in Milwaukee County. So could you, if there's a question of contradiction, could you clarify that for the author?
I was just comparing lines 13 through 15 and then 34 through 36, those two clauses, to ask the writer, for the author, for clarification. If she doesn't feel that clarification is needed, that's okay, and I can move on to the next question.
I guess I'm asking, could you clarify what is the conflict? It seems that those are whereas statements, so they're to be taken as...
Well, 13 through 15 asserts that Milwaukee County is unlike any of the other 71 counties, which would lead one to think that we should be treated uniquely. But the next clause that I'm referring to, 34 through 37, says that these bills, referring to the state bills, would apply only to Milwaukee County and not to other counties, even ones that have chosen to use a county executive form of governance, etc. So it seems to be contradictory in nature. In one area, the paragraph is saying we're unique, and the other, it's saying that we should be treated like every other county. So I'm just wondering, sure, which is it? Should we be treated like every other county, or should we be treated differently?
All right. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. State statute provides that Milwaukee is a county of the first class. And as far as I understand it, the only county of the first class in the state of Wisconsin, which entitles the state to treat it differently by the state's own definition. And if there's confusion, I would ask that the state answer that.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, any further questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Can you direct the questions at the chair, please? Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The next question I have is regarding lines 43 through 45 of the resolution, which read, this package of reforms developed at the local level reflects suggestions and viewpoints from Milwaukee County residents, local and state government elected officials, and others interested in meaningful reform. I have several questions that I'll give you that hopefully can be answered at the same time. First is if there will still be listening sessions as part of the Our Milwaukee County Reform Plan in the districts that have not had any yet. Second, if this plan that we're voting on today will be presented to county residents in listening sessions before being adopted before the full board, and if not, why not?
So, I guess the question is for anyone who knows whether they intend to have a... Is that what you're asking, whether anyone has a plan to have a listening session in their district?
Yes.
Supervisor Roger.
Thank you. Again, I have not had formally what I have called a listening session in my district, but I have appeared before numerous community groups at which this was discussed. This may be a semantic matter, as to a listening session versus regular town hall meetings that all of us hold on a regular basis. Perhaps we could clarify this by asking the questioner which supervisor district she's referring to, because that accounts for mine.
Okay. Supervisor Alexander, was there a specific district that you were concerned about that or was a broad question?
My concern was that any supervisors who still wish to have listening sessions on the topic of government reform be given the leeway to have them. I'm not sure if Supervisor Taylor had an opportunity to have one. I know there were a few other supervisors that may not have had them, and I just wanted to make that point.
Supervisor Taylor, she's concerned. The supervisor is concerned that you haven't had an opportunity. Is that?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would say I think the chairwoman at one point said that each city would have a listening session, or each district. And, like, for example, in mine, I represent three communities, so I'm not going to have one in Franklin, Oak Creek, and Hales Corners. That being said, my district, at least two of the three municipalities, voted in that 84 to 87 percentile in whether the board should be part-time or whether the board should be downsized. And knowing the makeup of my district, which voted roughly 65% for Governor Walker in the recall election, I'm pretty sure how I need to vote on this, and that's reform. So, you know, I don't think I have to have a listening session to tell me that we need reform in Milwaukee County, considering that's what I also campaigned on. And let me just point out the fact that even if we pass this, the state can still pass theirs and makes this pretty much moot. So I think that has to be people really need to understand that even if we pass this on Thursday, the state could act as soon as early May, I believe, and then using a governor's signature. So then if the state does nothing, we've actually put in reforms that we did ourselves because it didn't handle it at that level. So I'm not concerned at all whether or not we've had a listening session. I do believe my question would be, don't we have to have then pass ordinances for all these things? Mm-hmm. Which means that this resolution, let's say it passes on Thursday, then we could take specific ordinances on the road to those other municipalities, other districts that haven't had one for input. So I have no problem putting one together on the ordinances themselves.
Very good. Thank you.
But not this.
Thanks, Supervisor Taylor. Supervisor Alexander, can you proceed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That did answer my question. The resolution before us does call for changing the term of county supervisors from 4 years to 2 years. I'm wondering why that's a good idea, if the author may be willing to respond at your choosing, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Dmitrievich, if you wish to respond to that provision.
Well, I think we can go on and on with this multiple questions. That's fine. I think the question that the supervisor has to ask herself is, are you supportive of local reforms? Are you going to vote today in support of what's in this package, which is changing our compensation, a 50% budget reduction to the county board budget, our terms? I guess that's something that we can talk about, and some of the major bold reforms that are in front of us. This is a reform package like this has never been before this board before, and now is the time that you need to cast a vote for it or against it on this committee. So on the two-year terms, it's something that is used across the state of Wisconsin, and we were looking at best practices, and this is something we're going to ask the state for a tool to change post-2016.
Very good. Thank you, Supervisor Alexander. Further questions?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lines 98 through 103 of the resolution describe how the chairwoman, as the author of the resolution and the leader of director of this department, plans to cut the department's budget and staff. Considering that some staff will be moved to other departments under this plan, I'm curious how the chair plans to achieve the 50% cut, which staff positions would be unfunded, and which other departmental expenses for the county board would be cut.
I don't know if that's a question that has an answer at this time, but if she wishes, Supervisor Dmitrievich.
Mm-hmm. It does not. In fact, this is a framework, and it's a commitment by this county board. Either you're going to vote for it or against it, to have in 2014 a 50% budget reduction. We've been reorganizing in this department. There are a lot of changes going on, and we are doing things differently. So from now, with its adoption, to 2014, we will reorg the department to reach that 50% goal. But those details are not, that's something that we'll do together in our own department here in this budget in Milwaukee County.
Right, and the timeline that you have, you submit the department's proposed budget.
In a few months.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. Supervisor Dimitri, Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can appreciate that that's certainly something that would need to be worked out. I have a slight follow-up question on that topic just to make sure I understand the general idea. The resolution regarding how the Department of the County Board is staffed refers to some staff moving to other departments. For example, our two lobbyists becoming their own department, staff that clerk our meetings being moved beneath the county clerk. I'm curious if the intention to reduce our staffing by 50% includes the moves to other departments, or is that if that is above and beyond moving staff to other departments?
I can speak to that, too.
Supervisor Dimitrievic.
I think you need to pay very close attention to the language in here. It's responsibilities. These responsibilities, someone is always going to need to clerk our meetings. So in 2014, I will introduce a budget that has a 50% reduction to it in our county board budget. The county clerk will take over the responsibilities. There's no transfer of positions. In 2014, the county clerk, like many other counties in the state of Wisconsin, will assume those duties. How he chooses to staff his own office to fulfill those duties is his decision. That is not a transfer. That's inaccurate. There will always be a need for intergovernmental relations, and in fact, that's something that's changed throughout the years, and those duties will no longer be provided in the county board budget. There'll be a separate department that'll have its own budget, and how that seems to be fit, it'll provide its own budget for that. So those are separate units of government. It's not a transfer. It's roles and responsibilities. That's what a lot of this bill is about, is clarifying roles and responsibilities will be held elsewhere in Milwaukee County.
Mr. Chair, can I also answer that?
Supervisor Taylor.
I can tell you that when myself and Supervisor Borkowski came up with a plan to cut the board staff by 50% and also with our downsizing plan, that some of those savings to the board staff were transferred to different areas, like the chairwoman said, to the clerks, separate IGR. There's other positions you could obviously move. But we have heard both the author and also the county exec talk about $4 million in savings that were going to go to either parks, going to go to transit, going to go, let's say, pay down the debt. We heard time and time again the executive talk about $4 million worth of savings. Well, if there are truly $4 million worth of savings, that means there are no lobbyists. That means there's no one clerking the meetings. These positions, they are value. They are valuable. They have to be done by somebody. I know in my plan, it was cutting our legislative aides in half, going from 18 to 9, and a number of other cuts. But when you talk about $4 million, and that's using the state's 0.4 cap that we would have, it's being disingenuous and not truthful to the taxpayers, thinking they're getting $4 million in savings, when the reality is some of those jobs, that'd be like the county exec saying, nope, we don't need any lobbying. You're basically saying that if there's truly $4 million worth of savings. So it's very easy to beat up any elected official's budget. It's very easy to say, hey, shouldn't the executive be paid $1 or the governor or anybody in Washington, because people are just fed up with elected officials. So I think that the savings are, from the way I read it and the way I've been told, is it will be removed from our control. But some of these jobs still have to be done.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate those answers. Thank you. Lines 221 through 230 of the resolution describe a proposed transformation of the intergovernmental relations staff I'm curious what the purpose of having dual management of a two-person department is if the county executive is only carrying out the policies of the county board.
Okay. Supervisor Dmitrievich, did you want to comment on intergovernmental relations?
I think it should be a separate independent department.
Any comment on the dual responsibility or models for that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I didn't understand the question. Yeah, that's another model that has been used throughout the state of Wisconsin, and so we're trying to find the best models possible, and we think that separate independent department reporting to both branches will be a way to speak with one voice, and that the county executive and the county board having a role in that will be able to have a unified voice.
Does the city do something like that?
I think, yeah, the city of Milwaukee has a similar makeup.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lines 252 through 264 of the resolution describe giving more duties to the comptroller. I'm curious if he's been consulted on this prospective change.
Sure. Supervisor Dmitrievich. Community Business Development Partners transfer to the Office of the Comptroller.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, he's present, he can speak on it, but again, we're the policymakers. We're the policy. This is a document setting policy, how things are going to hopefully run in the best way possible in county government. So we are the policymakers, and I think that we think this is the best policy to be had when it comes to having the Office of Community Business Development Partners being in this independent office of the comptroller.
Does that answer your question, Supervisor Alexander?
That did. Mr. Chairman, what does federal law say about the management of the DBE program and which departments need to house it?
I'm not aware. Is there anyone who would speak to the requirements of federal law?
Well, of course, I don't have that memorized, but I believe there needs to be access to both legislative and executive branch. And I think we will have that under this new proposal here under the comptroller.
Okay. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lines 288 through 290 of the resolution empower the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit further. I'm curious as to why.
I'm sorry. Line 288 to 290 is a follow-up to the previous provision, raising the threshold of contracts. Mm-hmm. So your question is, why would that committee have authority over any contracts or those specific contracts? What's the question?
I'm wondering, Mr. Chairman, I guess it's not clear to me how, even if it's a follow-up from the clause starting on 284 that says the County Board of Supervisors hereby increases the threshold of professional service contracts requiring County Board approval from $50,000 to $100,000, and the next clause, the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit shall have jurisdiction of all professional service contracts unless otherwise prescribed by state and federal law. How that is different from how we're operating currently, and if it is different, what is the reason for that difference in that second clause?
Okay. Supervisor Dmitrievich, are you able to explain what if anything, changes?
Mm-hmm. There is a threshold change from $50,000 to $100,000 in contract reviews, and the 292 to 296 is a very common practice. In fact, it's one that Waukesha County uses. And when we were looking for best practices, this is one that we thought would be a good fit as we seek to streamline our governance. And what this is a general compromise. So there's things in here that I think exemplify a compromise of how we can better improve our county governance.
Okay. So the current jurisdiction of that committee is unchanged, but the process
is slightly different. The threshold and the review. And that, again, is Waukesha County uses that one, and we thought that would be, as we were looking for best practices and how to streamline, which we're always looking for, these are some of the models that we came up with.
Okay, thank you. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lines 315 through 324 of the resolution speak to labor relations and describe a new procedure. I'm curious how this policy would work and if we could hear or talk through a hypothetical example, because the clause isn't clear to me on how this would affect future negotiations.
Okay.
This one, I think, is very clear. I don't know how else to, I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah, I think this one is incredibly clear, and it, again, is a best practice and a compromise, and, I mean, I'm not sure what is unclear about how this will be the policy moving forward.
So currently, currently this is delegated to the Finance Personnel
mm-hmm.
and Audit Committee. And would now this would be delegated to the county exec with final approval coming mm-hmm. to the board.
With parameter check-ins coming to the committee, but the committee would finalize any possible agreements, but there would be more direction given by the county executive.
Okay. Supervisor West?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Entire line of questioning is completely unusual. I don't understand why the questioner chose to do or to ask questions in this format. Normally, a county board, if you have a question on the resolution, you get with the author before we sit here in committee. We are now going on close to a half an hour worth of questions. We have people in the audience who are here who are registered to speak on item number one, and I'm wondering if the questioner would be able to meet with Supervisor Dmitrievich and get her questions answered before Thursday. I do believe her mind is made up as to how she is going to vote on this legislation, and so I see,
okay.
Again,
Supervisor,
this is extremely unusual for a supervisor to come to committee with all of these questions on anything. Normally, we reserve committee for questions that pop up when we have speakers who come and give us information that we were not aware of or familiar with before we get here.
All right.
Thank you,
Supervisor West. I believe that the supervisor only has a couple more, and I will give her the latitude in the spirit that I hope that she's asking the questions to better understand it, and hopefully that'll put matters at ease. If it goes on at length, we can take that up. But thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the latitude there. For those listening and watching, I think that it's important to make the point that I became aware of this resolution only late last Thursday, which has given us about a full business day to review this resolution. I think that it affects many facets of county government, and we've had little time to go through it thoroughly. As I mentioned before, just changing ethics rules in the past required many meetings, many hearings, and many discussions. So I thought it was appropriate to make sure that these questions were answered when we were all here together. So I appreciate that latitude. My other question was that lines 328 through 338 describe a previously resolved audit. Part of the purpose of that audit was to prepare for changes that are currently being proposed in this resolution. So I'm just curious why we're introducing changes before the actual audit is complete, and if we can speak to that, I'm curious where we're at on the process of obtaining an auditor and beginning the audit.
Supervisor Dmitrievich, if you want to mm-hmm. Comment on how the audit fits in.
Yeah, I'm really happy that I've had this opportunity to make clear the big, bold changes that are in front of us and these important decisions about making cuts to the county board budget, cuts to the salary, cuts to the pension, and that is what is before us now. Again, it's comprehensive and it's a compromise. When it comes to the audit, that is something that we did vote on as a board, and we're looking for an independent outside audit. This now gives more detail of the scope, and actually, the great news is, which I think is why I would ask everyone on this committee to support this bill, this local reform plan, is that once this independent audit comes out, we are committing to going above and beyond, and if there's additional organizational review and suggestions that come out, we're going to adhere to those and make sure that we're as efficient as possible. So on the timeline, the next spot, and this audit came out before, the idea was two legislative cycles before. The next step is to present the scope, and in this resolution, you or those who are supporting it will be committing to adhering to any additional staff or budget reduction recommendations.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My final question before a few brief comments is if Corporation Council has reviewed this resolution.
Is there a specific provision of the resolution that you're curious whether it passes? That's not a typical process to have Corporation Council review a resolution. They do review ordinance changes and would be expected to review those in the future.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. All 361 lines of the resolution, I'm curious if your response means that Corporation Council has not reviewed it.
I can't respond for them. If Corporation Council wishes to respond to the question of whether you've reviewed this resolution and probably more specifically whether that's a typical practice.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. First answer to the practice question is there is no what I would call typical practice. Some ordinances and resolutions get introduced without our knowledge, without any discussion with us, without our review. Some, especially ordinances, are often sent to our office for review before introduction. Staff at times, you have experienced staff who have written ordinance amendments, sometimes with our involvement, sometimes without. Clearly, it's our preference, especially with respect to ordinances, that we be involved in the drafting of ordinances. Resolutions, typically, it's up to the author. With respect to this one, our office was not part of the drafting process for this resolution. We've read it along with everyone else who's had access to it through Legistar, but we've not been involved in the drafting process.
Thank you for clarification. That was your final question?
That was my final question, Mr. Chairman. I do have a few comments before we vote, if I may.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm disappointed that we can't take more time to get a lot of answers to these types of questions that I and I'm sure many people in the public who aren't here today probably have. I think that the eyes of Milwaukee County are upon us right now, and I wonder how we can look them in the eye and tell them that this is the very best we can do when it's so rushed and the opportunities for review and consideration are not really being afforded. I think that the proposal reinforces all the worst feelings about how we operate, and in that way, yes, it is a big and bold proposal. The question on the lips of our constituents is, can we trust them? Can we trust the county board? And in response, I think that this process is threatening to further erode our already crumbling credibility, Mr. Chairman. You don't have to achieve good governance by practicing bad governance, and that's what I think this proposal is, only because it's being rushed so quickly. It's a rushed resolution with insufficient opportunity for debate. It's a prescription for short-term public criticism and longer-term problems if these so-called solutions do turn out later to be ill-advised. With that, I move layover until the May meeting of this committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Layover takes precedence, so first we'll take that up. Is there any comment on layover?
Call and question.
All right, on layover. Madam Clerk.
Alexander.
Aye.
Broderick.
No.
Dmitrievich.
No.
Roma West.
No.
Cullen.
No.
Taylor.
No.
Mr. Cheer.
No.
One aye, six noes. The motion to lay over fails.
Okay. Supervisor West.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I think if there's irritation regarding this process being having a lack of review and feeling rushed, that those criticisms should go to the state because they essentially have a gun to our head and are imposing things on us without the input of our constituents. And so we have attempted, and I think have made a very noble attempt, to get out into the community and to gather that information and to turn that into something that we can use to reform county government for the constituents of Milwaukee County. Keeping in mind that this legislation, AB 85, was not the brainchild of someone from Milwaukee County, or a constituent. It wasn't because there was an outpouring. It's not because even CRG came forward and said, hey, we need to do reform. It is because one former member of this county board got elected to the state assembly that we have this issue in front of us. And so, again, being that we want to have reform that is driven by the people of Milwaukee County and not by the state of Wisconsin, we kind of don't have a lot of choices at this point on how we're going to get this done. And so we have done the best that we can. I applaud our chairwoman, who I know, and again, we did receive this information on Thursday night. Anybody who knows Chairwoman Dmitrievich knows that she was in her office and probably until the wee hours on Thursday, on Friday. She worked Saturday. She took a couple hours off Sunday for her birthday, and now she was in the office all day today. There's absolutely no excuse why someone could not sit down with her and discuss their concerns, their questions regarding this legislation before being here this afternoon. And so, again, let's put the blame where the blame is deserved, and that is on the state of Wisconsin, who sees fit to impose things on Milwaukee County that they're not wanting to impose on other counties in the state. And for the record, the first draft of this legislation had to be amended so that it didn't include Dane County, because Dane County is now population is encroaching that 500,000 mark. And so now they've upped it to 700,000 just so that it can be just for Milwaukee. And so, again, I'd like to call the question, Mr. Chairman, on approval.
We have a couple other members who wish to speak and have not spoken on approval. I'd like to at least give them an opportunity. Supervisor Broder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was curious in listening to Supervisor Alexander's comments whether she shares those same concerns with the hasty action on the part of the state of Wisconsin, who, without consulting our county's citizenry, has chosen to impose its will on the residents of Milwaukee County without their consent. And that would be one question. Another one, wouldn't it be fairer, or would you favor the entire question before us being presented to the public on a referendum in April of 14, rather than the carefully tailored partial question that appeals to knee-jerk reactionaries, in my view? Wouldn't it be fairer to have the totality of this question posed before the citizenry? So first, do you have those same concerns with the state? And second, do you favor the totality of the question being presented to the public prior to enactment?
Supervisor Alexander, leave those questions with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel that the questions that have been posed to potentially be in a referendum are not as long, as descriptive, or as informative as they need to be. However, I think that any resolution before this body, as well as any bill before the state, does need proper vetting. When I attended the public hearings that the state assembly held a few weeks ago, I sat there all day long and I listened to the testimony. I testified myself. I paid very close attention to what was going on. And the State Assembly's Corporation Council was asked, if that committee were to pass Assembly Bill 85 and it went through all the processes necessary to become law, and after the fact, Milwaukee County at the local level enacted good changes, could that be repealed? And their corporate counsel answered yes, unequivocally. I have also spoken directly with sponsors of the state bills and received assurances that if good reform occurred at the local level through Milwaukee County, that even if the state law were enacted, it could be repealed. So I think that we just need to be giving a lot more attention to what's before us, paying attention to what's before the state. We've all been doing that since January. But I also went to some of the leadership of this board as early as January and asked if we could all work together on plans for reform. And I was shut out. I was told, no, we are absolutely, positively opposing any state interaction with this county regarding reform, and that we would take that route first. That was strategy number one, oppose the state bills before we consider real reform at the local level. So I've been disheartened that no one was willing to work with me to actually do a plan for local reform until now, when it seemed like the media blow-ups and the public opinions have weighed in, and now that it seems we really do have a gun to our heads, here's the Hail Mary reform package miraculously appearing at the last minute.
Mr. Chair.
Your second question, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, I will make every effort to find an answer in that lengthy rebuttal.
Why don't you withdraw your other question? Mr. Chairman?
Did you have a... I thought you answered both questions.
I thought you did, too.
I thought I got his first question. I didn't know about his second question, but I guess in response to the others, since some members of the committee seem to be discontent with my line of questioning today, I would just say that despite not having a lot of time to review this with as vast of a resolution and all-encompassing as it really is, I think that board leadership has been evasive in the public eye lately, and it was important that I ask these questions in front of everyone, in front of the media, on the record today, not behind closed doors, so that we could get straight answers. And I don't think the public would disagree with that, regardless of their persuasion. That's what democracy and serving the public is really about. So thank you for hearing my questions and comments today, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate
it. I hope it will be reflected that you were given every opportunity to do that. Supervisor Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First off, I appreciate Supervisor Alexander's questioning. I know I'm not on finance with you. I know many times you have, it seems like, tedious questions, but that's your right as a supervisor, as elected official, to be well-informed before you cast a vote. So I definitely appreciate the fact that you had all these questions to ask. I definitely know that you're not fully in support of AB 85 because I've read your written testimony when you went to Madison, and frankly, all the changes that you would all the amendments you would add to that bill would be a totally different bill than they passed. And
right.
And so I guess the question would be whether or not you favor it, and I think your answer probably would be no, yes, with, you know, a half a dozen to ten amendments.
Supervisor, I'm going to suggest that's more
sure.
appropriate for the other, for
other
the
item.
Subsequent item.
No problem. But that being said, I appreciate all that you've added to this. Now, for this item before us, like I said earlier, it was obvious the reason we're here is because of the bill in Madison. And so, you know, has the county board made mistakes over the years? Absolutely. Have we stepped in it the last few months? You better believe it. And I can tell you that when I campaign and what I get continually from my constituents is that they want reform. And if you had told me a year ago that this type of reform would be before me to vote on and have a chance of passing, I would have said you're nuts. Okay? I don't have a vote in Madison. I have a vote right here. And that's why I will support this, because it is reform. It's not the same type of reform in Madison, but it's the only one I have a say on. And like I said earlier, the state Senate, it's in their laps now. If they choose to act, they can. If that basically means this is meaningless in the end, then that's very possible the case. But this is the one item that I can vote on, and this is reform, and that's why I support it.
Thanks, Supervisor Taylor. Supervisor Cullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, Supervisor Alexander said this, that something could be repealed. Of course, anything can be repealed, and that's... I think that, you know, sometimes when people are new, they get an answer like could be repealed, and they think that's a real answer. Would it be repealed? I highly doubt it. Not with the same group of legislators that we have up there now. You know, I look at this this resolution. There have been many meetings in the public discussing what we should do. What I've seen is the public that's come out has not been supportive of Representative Sanfilippo's efforts and has been more receptive to a local reform package. We have 10 supervisors who have been willing to put their name as co-sponsors on this resolution, which indicates to me that there's strong support. Representative Sanfilippo, I believe, was quoted in the newspaper of saying, "Trust me, the board will never vote to reduce its salary." Well, once again, Representative Sanfilippo is going to be proven wrong because we're going to do it. And I think, to be truthful, this is coming at a time, at this time, because the legislature is rushing to do this. And many of us feel that there should be a local answer to a local problem, that it shouldn't be foisted upon us by the legislature. Now, we don't have the authority to stop the legislature from doing this. We're working to try to speak with legislators and tell them why we're doing what we're doing and the many changes that the chairwoman is proposing along with 9 others. And I think this is very important. So this is our chance to vote for reducing our pay, reducing our budget, asking to be downsized. To me, it's a simple vote. When I campaigned, the only issues that came up were reducing the size of the county board and trying to fix the road on Menominee River Parkway. And we've made some strides on Menominee River Parkway. It's in the planning phase, so I'm happy about that. And now we're doing this. I feel we're answering a lot of the constituents that I have. So I would hope that we would support this, move this to the board on Thursday, support it, and be able to go to our legislators in Madison and say, "See, we can do this on our own. We don't need you to take care of us."
Okay. Any other comments? With that, we have a motion for approval as amended, made by Supervisor Dmitrievich. Take the roll.
Alexander?
No.
Broderick?
Aye.
Dmitrievich?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Cheer?
Aye.
6 ayes, 1 no. The motion to approve this item as amended is approved.
Thank you.